In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today, I have the blessing and the honor of having one of the blessed servants from the Bay Area, Dr. Megdi Girgis, to give us the homily this morning. And I probably need to give a homily to introduce Dr. Megdi Girgis, but I don't want to embarrass him too much. But I have to say something from my heart because Dr. Megdi Girgis and his wife Cindy and the children Tiffany and Zach, who are here today to celebrate the baptism of Tiffany and Armea's son, Cairo Carolus, who was baptized this morning, is a very special honor and blessing for me personally and my family today because Dr. Megdi Girgis was our Sunday school teacher when my wife and I were growing up in the Bay Area. Dr. Megdi Girgis also was one of the early servants, first servants to serve the whole Bay Area, and the almost 10 churches that are there now have all been served by Dr. Megdi Girgis and have been blessed by his presence and his activity there. Dr. Megdi Girgis also delivered my son at birth, and his daughter Tiffany was the flower girl of our wedding. So a lot of sentimental feelings this morning as I'm holding his grandson and thinking about the baptism and the birth into everlasting life through the baptism, and him also remembering my remembrance of him giving birth, bringing into temporal life my son. So I don't have enough words to express my admiration, my respect, my love for Dr. Megdi Girgis and his family, and the many sacrifices and the many graces that we received through his example. He is one of the most successful men who at the same time displays the utmost of humility. And he's always been a tremendous example of a humble servant. And so I know I've probably upset him by my words, but nonetheless, I speak from the heart and he knows that. So now we'll take the blessing of hearing the homily from Dr. Megdi Girgis in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God.
So honored and blessed to stand here and give the talk today. And I know that I'm not worthy and don't deserve that, but for the love and the kindness of my fathers. I told Otsabuna last night that I'm very nervous to give this talk today. But after this introduction, I'm a lot more nervous, truly, because I wish I deserve all the compliments that you gave me, but I know that the only one real thing of this that I delivered, Matthew, that's for sure. The gospel readings of this Sunday and next Sunday also are from the Sermon on the Mount. Every book in the gospel is very special, but the Sermon on the Mount is very, very special. It was recorded by St. Matthew in three straight chapters, 5, 6, and 7, nonstop. And the longest sermon given by our Lord, recorded by our Lord, many consider the Sermon on the Mount in the constitution of Christianity. Almost every doctrine and commandment in the New Testament can be traced back to the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, the beginning of it, the sermon addressed the Christian behavior, with the 9 Beatitudes, blessed 9 times, and then ending the chapter 5 by the 6, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, you have heard it said, but I say to you, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and fulfilling the purpose of the commandments of the Old Testament. But the entire chapter 5 was to do with our relationship with each other and with others, everybody else. Chapter 6, which is the beginning of today's reading of the gospel, addressed our relationship with the Lord God, the acts of righteousness, charity, and prayer and fasting. Our fathers chose this gospel to be read on this Sunday, of course, to prepare us for the season of charity and prayer and fasting. Now, if we ask ourselves this question, which is more important? Charity, which is something that we do on occasions here and there, versus the importance of prayer, which is something that we do continuously, supposedly all day long, very frequently. We praise the Lord God and we bless his name and we thank him for things and we ask him for things and we fight with him a little bit sometimes. But prayer is a continuous thing. And if we ask ourselves which is more important of these two, we will probably choose prayer. You agree? Prayer. But interestingly, though, and for the second time, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Creator gives up his natural and well-deserved rights to be first and asks us that we take care of our neighbors first, and then he comes second. Charity came first, and then prayer was second. In chapter 5, verse 23, he said, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, and go your way, first to be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift." We really should remember this verse every time we're standing in line here to have communion. So again, for the second time in chapter 6, charity came first, taking care of our brothers, and then prayer. The Lord Jesus teaches us how to pray. And in today's reading is the Lord's Prayer. I'll discuss only, for the sake of time, one verse, because it's the only verse in the Lord's Prayer, the only petition that is conditioned. It has a condition in it. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And he repeats that later on, and he says, if you don't forgive the trespasses of others, you will not be forgiven, which is a very scary thing. You should always keep that in mind. And this verse reminds us that we are all sinners also. There's repentance in that prayer. And this verse should always remind us to ask ourselves, did I forgive or didn't I? Did I forgive or didn't I? Am I worthy of that request to have my sins forgiven? That request is conditioned. There's a little story, I think it's Amba Abraham, if I'm not wrong, the Bishop of Fayyum, Giza, one of the saints of the church, that he was trying to make peace between two monks. And he tried, and he couldn't. He just didn't. So he said, okay, that's enough. We'll do that later on. And he started praying, and he prayed, and he said the Lord's Prayer, and he came to the, "Forgive us not our sins, as we have not forgiven the sins of others." And this embarrassed them, and they were reconciled. Many times our pride prevents us from forgiving. Scary, because we will not be forgiven. Very scary. Today, of course, we also read about fasting. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. But your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who is in the secret place will reward you openly. That's the same principle as we were given for the charity and the prayer. This is a private relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. And that Heavenly Father who sees in secret will reward us openly. There's a reward. Fasting for the Jews was a duty, and it was a burden, undesirable obligation. Many wanted to be admired for their righteous behavior, and some who did not even fulfill the obligation of the fasting, they wanted to appear like they did. So both of them disfigured their faces and frowned and acted short-tempered, that they may appear to men to be fasting, and that is why the Lord Jesus called them hypocrites. To us, fasting is different. We do not fast because if I don't fast, I'm a sinner, I'm going to go to hell. No. And we don't fast to be admired by people. If we are, then that's all the reward we're going to receive. And that's a worthless reward. But we want God's reward, the heavenly reward, far more precious than any earthly reward we may get. And we do not want to lose that reward. So we don't want to appear fasting. But then that raises a question. Somebody may say, it's Lent time and everybody knows that you're all fasting. That's true. But that's what the people see of us, that we don't eat certain foods. But fasting is a lot more deeper than that. There are many, many things that people don't see in us during the fasting that many of us would do. Some will go many, many hours without any food. Some will read a lot more chapters in the Bible, a lot more agbeya, more charity, and more things that people don't see. But who will see? Our Father in the secret place, and He will reward us openly. And that is the core important thing about fasting, not to appear fasting. There is a reward. This reminds me of one incident that happened to me. Might sound a little silly, but it just reminded me of this, that I get very annoyed with the noise of blowers. The landscapers are blowing these, and I get really more annoyed even when they start using their big equipment and the noise is just, yeah. So one Thursday morning, which is my day off, that's the only day of the week that I don't set the alarm. But the alarm was a very huge noise, banging and banging, and I waited for it to stop, nothing. So I finally got up, angry, opened the curtain, looked, and they're cutting a tree, 90-foot tree, dead pine tree, has been there for years, dead, fire hazard, blocking our view, and they're cutting it. So for the next 4 hours, I can't believe how much I enjoyed the noise. It was music to my ears, because there was a reward. There was a reward. So we endure fasting, and we even enjoy it, and we should enjoy it, because there is a reward. So besides, and I'm coming to an end here, besides the Heavenly Father reward, there is great benefit. There are great benefits from fasting. And I'm not going to just talk about the benefit of the health benefits of fasting, which we all know, as long as we cut down on the French fries a little bit. But but definitely, fasting food is very healthy food. The Lord Jesus taught us a great lesson that we're going to be reading about it not this coming week. I think the next reading, the Sunday of the Temptation, the Sunday of the Temptation. The Lord Jesus was faced by the greatest temptations that we can ever think of. The desire of the flesh, hunger after 40 days, the desire of ownership. He was offered the entire world, the desire of glory and pride, coming down, carried by the angels from the top of them. Nothing, no other temptation is going to be. So before the temptation, what did he do? He fasted. We did not need to fast, we know that, but he was teaching us, like everything he does for us men, for our salvation, he fasted to teach us that fasting will protect us and will help us resist the temptations and defeat the temptation. If we resist the temptation, we will never sin. The doors of heaven will be open for us. The most powerful instinct in a human is food and appetite, nothing else. Because food is so available here, we forget about that. But this is really the strongest and the most powerful instinct in a human. And in fasting, we control that instinct, which trains us also to control all other desires. And then we become owners of our bodies and masters of our bodies, rather than being owned by our bodies and slaves to our desires. May the Lord God bless this special season for us and fill our hearts and our minds and our homes with the joy and the blessings of the Lent, and glory be to our Father, God forever. Amen.
Our Father.